Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center presents Doc Talk, an informative health series educating our community on the services provided at Peace Health. We will begin with our host, George Henry, after these messages.
With flu season just around the corner, now is the prime time to schedule your annual flu shot. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control recommend that everyone aged 6 months and older, and especially older adults, get vaccinated against the flu. Peace Health Medical Group in Florence has adult and pediatric flu shots available. Call 541-997-7134 to make an appointment for your flu shot today. It only takes a minute and helps protect you, your family, and the community this flu season. So call 541-997-7134 today.
I am a two-time breast cancer survivor and a big believer in mammograms. I do think they are very important. As a cancer survivor, the journey can be very difficult, but with the right people by your side, anything is possible.
At Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center, you have access to advanced technology in mammogram screenings with enhancements to ensure your comfort. Request your appointment today at peacehealth.org/yes-mama, because beating cancer is our mission.
Welcome to our November edition of Doc Talk. Today we have a threefer. We have several different topics we're going to be talking about today. And we have several different folks that are going to be visiting with us as well. We're going to start off with Dr. Karthik Mahadevan, and he is an organ lung specialist out of Springfield. And good morning to you.
Good morning, Carl. George.
So Peace Health recently announced that Riverbend has a new tool in the fight against lung cancer, and this is Lung Cancer Awareness Month. It's called the Monarch Robot. Can you tell me a little bit of what the robot is designed to do?
We're very excited about the Monarch Robotic Bronchoscopy platform. We've been doing bronchoscopies for many years, and we've had steady advances in how we use bronchoscopes to diagnose lung cancer. Earlier, bronchoscopies were used to diagnose large tumors in easy locations. But with progressive improvement in technology, and the Monarch robot is the finest and the newest of them, we can diagnose lung cancers really early. The robot helps us get to spots that are really difficult to biopsy, helps us get to spots that are really tiny. In the past, we would not have biopsied. We'd wait or send those patients straight to surgery. The robot helps us navigate. It's almost like a GPS system that we use to drive our biopsy forceps to the area of concern and get biopsies. The promise that it holds for the future, not only in the future will it help us diagnose lung cancers, but it may help us treat some forms of lung cancer with the robot. We navigate to that spot and maybe zap it with microwave radiation in some patients. Maybe there's going to be future technologies that will help us deliver drugs locally to the tumor. So this is the beginning. At the start, this is going to help us diagnose lung cancers early. And also to make sure that some of these lesions are not lung cancers, because sometimes we do biopsies on patients that we can't get an answer, and then we send them to surgery and we find it's not a lung cancer. So it helps both with early diagnosis, and it also improves the accuracy of diagnosis.
Is this something that every patient can take advantage of, or is it just certain candidates for this particular?
Anybody that has a lesion in the lung that is difficult to access may be a candidate for this procedure. We don't use it for every patient. I would say about a fourth or a third of the lung masses / nodules that are sent to our clinics become candidates for the robotic bronchoscopy platform. We just kicked this off like 2 weeks ago. We used to use an earlier technology called super dimension bronchoscopy, which was a significant improvement from what we did 10 years ago. But this is the next platform. It will help us diagnose even more lesions.
It seems like in the 70s and early 80s, we heard an awful lot in the news and in medical stuff about lung disease and lung cancer. Has the instances of it risen over the last 20 or 30 years, or has it declined?
Lung cancer is been increasing for the last several years. It is the most common cause of cancer death in the United States. More people die from lung cancer than breast, prostate, and colon combined. That said, we've made significant strides in treating lung cancer. The mortality from lung cancer has decreased. We have screening programs that went into effect about in 2013, 2014 that hopefully will help us catch more lung cancer early and help people live longer. When I started my training 20 years ago, lung cancer was a diagnosis of lung cancer was pretty bad. People were pretty nihilistic about it. We have more treatments for lung cancer, but we have also the best way to treat lung cancer is to find it early. So we have now screening pathways for identifying patients who are developing lung cancer early in the course. So if we diagnose lung cancer early, we could potentially cure those people. Early stage one lung cancers can be cured if we catch them early enough. So this being Lung Cancer Awareness Month, I think the real push should be to for most people to think about, are they candidates for screening for lung cancer? Because that's the first step to talk about. You know, we've talked about breast cancer screening for a long time. We talk about colon cancer screening, but the screening for lung cancer still is not done in a widespread manner. The U.S. Task and Preventive Forces many years ago came up with a guideline for screening for lung cancer. People over the age of 55 who have a greater than 30-pack year history of smoking should be considered candidates for screening for lung cancer. They are the highest risk population, and hopefully we can find cancers early in those people and save lives.
Now, if people don't, like you said, it hasn't been a real push like it has with breast and colon cancer. Once people start showing symptoms, is that kind of an indication that they've arrived a little too late for treatment?
Symptoms and stage of disease are not well correlated. I would say typically when you have symptoms, it's fairly advanced. Early stage lung cancer is completely asymptomatic.
So you may not know. So if you're in a risk group, that's why it's important to go in and see.
Yes, your primary care doctor should be able to do the screening. It is because it's a U.S. Preventive Task Force recommendation. It's sort of like screening for colon cancer. So your primary care doctor can, in the right subgroup of patients, order a CT screening for low-dose CT screening for lung cancer. And then we can, based on the results, we will talk about the recommendations for what the next steps are. The Monarch becomes particularly important in this regard because when we find these lesions from lung cancer screening, they're fairly small. 25% of the people that have some sort of an abnormality on the CT, and only a quarter of those end up having cancer. So I think getting to an accurate biopsy and diagnosis in those patients becomes very important. And I think that's sort of how Monarch ties into all of this.
Now, you mentioned you've only had it for a couple of weeks now. Have you had a chance to use it on a lot of cases since then? Or
yes, we've done about 7 cases so far. I have a huge couple of weeks coming up with a lot of patients that I'll be doing biopsies on. And, you know, conventional bronchoscopy, you know, you typically get a yield of about, if you did a regular bronchoscopy, you'd get an answer for a diagnosis in about 60 to 70% of the cases. I've done 7 cases, and 6 out of the 7, we had a positive answer. And in the 7th one, we had a possible cancer diagnosis. So I think we got to a diagnosis on almost all of them, which is a huge improvement from our prior technologies.
I'm speaking with Dr. Kartik Mahadevan, and he is an organ lung specialist over in Springfield. And we're going to take a quick little break right now and be back. We have a couple more guests to introduce you to. But Dr. Mahadevan, I'd like you to hang around if you could, if some questions might arise as we move into the next segment.
Great. Thank you.
With flu season just around the corner, now is the prime time to schedule your annual flu shot. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control recommend that everyone aged 6 months and older, and especially older adults, get vaccinated against the flu. Peace Health Medical Group in Florence has adult and pediatric flu shots available. Call 541-997-7134 to make an appointment for your flu shot today. It only takes a minute and helps protect you, your family, and the community this flu season. So call 541-997-7134 today.
I am a 2-time breast cancer survivor and a big believer in mammograms. I do think they are very important. As a cancer survivor, the journey can be very difficult, but with the right people by your side, anything is possible.
At Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center, you have access to advanced technology and mammogram screenings with enhancements to ensure your comfort. Request your appointment today at peacehealth.org/yes-mama, because beating cancer is our mission.
On this edition of Doc Talk, we're talking about the month of November is Lung Cancer Awareness Month. We've been talking with Dr. Mahadevan, who is an organ lung specialist on the Monarch robot. Now Carl Logan is joining us. He's the clinical coordinator of cardiopulmonary rehab at Peace Harbor Hospital. And Carl, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Now, we've talked about this new tool for diagnosing lung cancer. But we should also talk about preventative measures, too, because sometimes the best defense is preventative. Smoking, I think, is determined to be the number one cause of lung cancer. Is that correct?
I believe that is correct, yes.
And Peace Harbor has a program to help people quit. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, the program we use, there are multiple programs that you can use for smoking cessation. The program that we chose was the American Lung Association's Freedom from Smoking program. And what the program entails, it's 8 sessions over 7 weeks. And it talks about every aspect of smoking. We start off. The first 3 sessions are just learning why an individual smokes so that they can develop, a course of action for their smoking. The first 3 sessions, they have to figure out what the barriers are to quitting. They have to figure out what triggers are. And so we have a variety of things that we use. And the American Lung Association's program is very, very thorough. There's a book that we give to each participant, and they become very active in the process. And quit day isn't until the 4th session. And that's very, very important because that gives them the opportunity to learn why they've smoked, to determine that if in fact, yes, they are addicted, and then develop a course of action. That also gives them the opportunity to speak with their primary care and decide whether they want to use medication or not. Because medication is, whether it's nicotine replacement or some other type of medication, it's very, very important. It improves the success of a smoking cessation program. Go ahead.
I was going to say, do you feel that people, that when they go into this knowing they've got, you know, to wait to the 4th session, you think that helps them in the sense of they know, well, I don't have to give it up right now? So maybe it kind of mentally prepares them for it?
I really do. And I reinforce that when I first talk to them about the program, I let them know that because a lot of them are on the fence and they think, unless we have that conversation, that they have to quit the day that they start. And that creates a lot of apprehension. And so knowing that they don't have to quit and that we teach them why they smoke, I think it really helps with the program and with their success.
What sort of other things after week 4, after the quit week, what other sort of things do you introduce them to in order to help them kind of wean off and then stay off tobacco?
Well, the very next session, I mentioned there's 8 sessions and it's 7 weeks. That's because we do them once a week on Mondays. On the quit week, we do the quit day is on Monday, but we do a 2-day follow-up. And it's a 2-day follow-up because that's going to be the biggest struggle for someone who's just quit smoking. They need to have some follow-up. They need to have somebody sit down and talk to them and walk them through it. Some of them are very successful. They have no problems. And others really, really struggle with it. So that 2-day follow-up is very important. And then the next 3, 6, 7, and 8, we talk about a variety of things. Some barriers to quitting are people are concerned about weight gain, which is common. Usually 5 to 7 pounds is fairly typical. But we have methods. It's part of the program. We teach them things that they can do to help with weight. exercise is one of those things. And so we talk about exercise, we talk about stress, and there's in the booklet, there is a list of about 50 different things which are stress reducers. And certainly out of 50, there's a couple that someone you might be able to identify with and work into their program. So it's that support after they quit and having a group session so that they're with somebody that's going through what they're going through, developing a buddy system. All of those sort of things are very, very important.
Do we know why some people are able to just like crunch a pack up, throw it in the trash, and never look back, and some have more of a struggle? Do we know kind of the makeup of people when they're dealing with trying to give up smoking?
You know, I wish I did. I've been doing this for years, and I ask people that question. I ask them how they quit, if they were just a cold turkey, or if they went through a program, or if they used medication. And there are a number of people that quit cold turkey and never look back. And I'm not certain why they're able to do that. The majority of the people struggle with it, and they quit multiple times and then start again before they finally quit. And that's usually why those folks come to a smoking cessation program, because it has been so difficult. And that's the value of the program, is it teaches them why they go back to smoking, because there's smoking involves every aspect of our life. Our social life, you know, it's not just a physical addiction. It involves our social life, and it's ingrained in us mentally. Everything that we do could be a trigger. And so that's why it's so important. And if I knew that people could just quit cold turkey, we would have a lot more success.
Right. Now, unfortunately, I can't get through a doc talk in the last 6-8 months without mentioning COVID-19 as part of this. And as we know, there's some respiratory issues involved in COVID-19. Are your patients aware of how smoking can be a complication for COVID-19?
I think most of them are. They recognize it's a respiratory illness, and it is something that we discuss in our classes. We do have small classes, and so we space people out to help prevent risk. Everyone wears masks and that sort of thing. So we do our best to make sure that people are safe while they're here. As far as COVID is concerned, anybody that has a respiratory illness is at higher risk, and it's something that they need to be aware of, and it's something that we do discuss. And I'm hoping that and through this program, it'll get that word out a little bit more.
Do you think that having another malevolent portion of this, like COVID-19, you think that helps people to get ready to quit more? So I know some people, it doesn't matter. You know, you can tell them they're going to die tomorrow and they're not going to quit doing what they're doing. But I mean, in general, do you think having that extra weight on them helps them to quit?
It might. Health is one of the reasons. It's one of the biggest motivating factors for quitting, and that's one of the things that we discuss in the program. But it's still very difficult. There's been a lot of people that have gone through the program, and the reason they quit was they landed in the hospital. And they were encouraged by their physician, you need to quit or, you know, it's going to kill you eventually.
Before I get to the how much does it cost, besides quitting smoking, what other things can people do to lower their risk of getting lung cancer or other lung diseases?
There are a lot of occupational things too. So it's not just about smoking. Smoking is the number one cause, but there's occupational hazards as well. I mean, everyone's probably familiar with mesothelioma, asbestosis. So there are other environmental things. So wearing masks is protection, and making sure that we do that for our own health. And COVID, I think if there's one benefit from it, it's brought it to people to realize that masking is very, very important and very helpful. So that's probably the biggest thing, just being aware that they're susceptible and take the precautions.
All right. Well, I want to talk with Haley, but just tell us real quickly, how much does it cost and how can people sign up? I was going to kind of wait till that to the end, but we can tell them now and tell them again at the end.
Well, thanks. That's a great question. Right now, and for some time, Peace Health Foundation is covering the cost for the program. And so for the participants, for the foreseeable future, it is something that there is no cost for. Peace Health Foundation picks it up, and all they have to do is talk to their provider. And they all are very familiar with the program and refer to me. They can even call us direct. If they just call into the hospital, they know who I am and how to contact me. So a simple referral, we've taken away the cost aspect of it. So that hopefully that will eliminate one of those reasons why people don't move forward.
If a person doesn't have a primary care physician, can they go through the clinic and get a recommendation?
Absolutely. They do have, you know, the walk-in clinic here in Florence, and so they don't have to have a provider. And if they're that's always the first step, and I always recommend that they do that because they should talk to their provider and consider medication or something like that. And so they can talk to a provider through the walk-in clinic, and they can get a referral.
What number can they call if they want to contact the hospital?
The easiest thing to do is just call the hospital direct at 541-997-8412 and ask about the Freedom from Smoking program or smoking cessation, and they can get referred to the program.
All right. I'm speaking with Carl Logan. He's a clinical coordinator of the cardiopulmonary rehab facility at Peace Harbor. And we'll be back in just a moment with Haley Durgan, and we'll see what she has to tell us. With flu season just around the corner, now is the prime time to schedule your annual flu shot. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control recommend that everyone aged 6 months and older, and especially older adults, get vaccinated against the flu. Peace Health Medical Group in Florence has adult and pediatric flu shots available. Call 541-997-7134 to make an appointment for your flu shot today. It only takes a minute and helps protect you, your family, and the community this flu season. So call 541-997-7134 today.
I am a two-time breast cancer survivor and a big believer in mammograms. I do think they are very important. As a cancer survivor, the journey can be very difficult, but with the right people by your side, anything is possible.
At Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center, you have access to advanced technology and mammogram screenings with enhancements to ensure your comfort. Request your appointment today at peacehealth.org/yes-mama because beating cancer is our mission.
On this edition of Doc Talk, we are talking about basically lung cancer and lung cancer awareness and things to do to prevent that, including smoking cessation. So who we have with me now is Haley Durgan. She's a medical assistant at Peace Harbor Family Medical Clinic. She is also a graduate of the cessation program that Carl Logan was just talking about. Haley, welcome.
Thank you.
So how long had you been a smoker before you decided to quit?
Longer than I'd like to say, but I am overall, I've probably smoked about 20 to 25 years of my short life, considering I'm only 37.
Right. I mean, I know I was in my 20s. I was a 3-pack-a-day person, and I was like, I just got to quit this at some point. You know, what made you decide to try to quit?
Being a single mom and wanting to be a better role model for my son, as well as wanting to be around longer for my son, to have someone here for him.
Were you a cheat smoker where you'd go out of the house and around the corner, or did you kind of like just smoke in general?
I didn't smoke in the house, but yeah. I would just, you know, in generally just go outside, you know, my front door or back door and have a cigarette, you know, or even if my son were outside, you know, I just wouldn't obviously do it in a vehicle or in the house. But yeah, it didn't bother me to just smoke anywhere.
Yeah, because I know some people hide. I hid it from my kids. I didn't want them to see, because I was like, I don't know if I was embarrassed or just didn't want to be a bad role model. But either way, you know, there's those out there who do that. How was your experience with the Peace Harbor Tobacco Cessation Program?
It was life-changing, really, because I don't think I could have done it without the program. I unfortunately have to admit that I have gone through it twice, but the first time it was just so impactful. And like Carl had mentioned about the working up to your quit date, that was really a big help, knowing that I didn't have to be, you know, smoke-free that very first day, because I was like, how am I supposed to do this? This is why I'm taking this class, is because I obviously can't quit on my own, you know? So just knowing that I didn't have to be, you know, done at the very first start of the class helped. And then learning the triggers and the reasons behind why and when I would choose to smoke really helped open my eyes.
Did you... prior to the cessation program, had you tried to quit before?
Yes, several times. I did quit for the 9 months I was pregnant, cold turkey, but that was kind of easy because I had motivation as a living body growing in me. Right. But aside from that, I'd quit several times or tried to, and I was never successful. The longest I'd ever last was like a day or two.
Have you noticed in you, while you were smoking or even after, that have you noticed health issues or maybe, you know, lower levels of energy or ability to breathe or something like that because of your smoking?
Definitely. I'm an avid bicycle rider. And before I'd quit, I was constantly feeling like I was breathing all the time really heavy, like, you know, next to the people I was riding with, I'd be like, man, I'm so out of breath compared to them, you know. And then when I was finally able to quit, it was so much different, and I could actually take a deep breath and make it up the hills without feeling like I'm panting like a dog.
So you would recommend this program to other people?
Oh, definitely. I mean, having the knowledge that you gain during the course of the smoking, freedom from smoking, is just really beneficial, because it helps predict what you're going to need to accomplish your goals. I'd ended up writing a letter to myself that I used for the first 2 weeks after quitting that really helped motivate me. And then I'd have a bag that I'd carried based on the triggers that Carl in the smoking from cessation class had helped me learn about. So I had something to occupy myself with, my hands and my mouth, you know, candies, Jolly Ranchers, pens, pencils, you know, anything to have on hand all the time, readily available for that moment that I had the urge.
Right, like holding a cigarette in your hand, instead you hold a pencil or a pen or something there to kind of give you that. Yeah. Real quick, I'd like to bring Dr. Mahadevan back on, because when you talked about, you know, being able to pedal your bike and not breathe heavily, one thing we didn't talk about, Dr. Mahadevan, is the idea of the ability for the lungs to heal once you quit smoking. Can you talk just real quickly on that?
Yeah, I think if you, smoking has effects on more than just the lung, right? I mean, smoking has significant effects on cardiac function. People that are smokers also have more heart disease. So when you quit smoking, your performance may improve due to several factors. One is that the effects on the lung are improved. Typically, if you have developed COPD as a consequence of smoking, smoking prevents further loss of quitting smoking prevents further loss of lung function, and in some people, quitting smoking may improve their lung function even if they've had some loss of lung function. But the improvements in exercise tolerance may just be more than just the improvement in lung function. It may also have to do with the cardiac consequences of smoking. Tobacco smoke makes the endothelial function worse, and people's heart and arterial health is worse when they smoke as well. So quitting smoking is just not good for the lungs. It's good for everything.
All right. Thank you, all three of you, Dr. Mahadevan, Carl Logan, and Haley Durgan. I appreciate you guys being on here. This is really great information. And again, Carl, if you want to give that phone number one more time for people that might want to contact the cessation program.
In Florence, in order to contact the Freedom from Smoking program, call Peace Harbor Hospital, area code 541-997-8412.
Carl, before we go, when is the next smoking cessation class?
Okay, the new program, I just finished a class. The next one will start in January, which is an ideal time because people always make their New Year's resolutions. It is very difficult to quit during the holidays because there's so much going on, and that's why I don't run a program through the holidays. But we will be starting it the second Monday in January.
Well, I imagine it's twofold. If you try to quit during the holidays, that 7-pound gain you mentioned would probably double during that time.
That's probably true.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You have been listening to Doc Talk, presented by Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center. For more information on the program and services provided, visit peacehealth.org.